Well, one more minute. Let's wait
Weird.
to see if Katie should or Kristen shows up. We got chastised previously for talking to each other before the meeting, Keith, so that's why everybody's so quiet. Does anybody know if Kristen was planning on being here or not?
I haven't heard.
Okay. And I'm thinking we kind of want Ryan because he's supposed to be leading the thing.
At the diagram on 419.
Yep.
But there's always a possibility of someone saying they didn't know.
That's right. Yeah, so this one, that should be pretty clear. I mean, the box itself, the service line, maybe that's just an area where it could be a bit unclear. Can everyone see my screen here with the document?
Again,
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess up to the check valve kind of makes sense, I figure, as a dividing line.
Well, and when you sign somebody up, depending on how much you give them, you can give them just this one page.
Yeah.
And part of the form or whatever, okay, this is your responsibility. This is ours.
Yeah. We've met with the Clark Regional Wastewater District to get their thoughts on this, and they actually maintain they own and maintain the tanks and the pumps. And have an easement to do all that. And actually they presented no ex or had no exception to this idea of leaving that up to the property owners, maybe even preferred it if they could have. They just happened to be set up differently. But yeah, I guess what do you think would be the most common problems to watch out for with kind of that more hands-off approach in letting property owners or expecting them rather to stay on top of all of this?
Well, part of it is, they've already got a septic tank, so it needed, they're already having a schedule or whatever checking for that, which is going to be part of this process either or both. And, it's the cleaning of the screen and checking the floats. I looked on Clark County's and they were saying that their biggest problems were the float switches. And so I don't know if the district would have materials available, so if somebody had problems, they wouldn't have to search around and call Consolidated or somebody else. They could call the district and, here's the materials that you'd need.
That's a good idea. So it's just handy
Yeah, that's
to
the
have.
thing, is people like it being ha completely hands off, I don't see a whole lot of maintenance on the pressure system itself.
Right. Yeah.
That would be driving the line depending on where the person lived or whatever and how often they went in. You can drive the line once a week, once a month, whatever. And that is there. Have you put in for a permit, or do you actually need a permit for the collection system from DEQ?
We're subject to plan review, but I haven't heard of any need for a WPCF permit in any conversation with them, right? Because that's about the treatment system,
Yes.
is more or less, which the Redmond has that covered for
Yes.
disposal of the waste. But as far as collection goes, it's interesting. There isn't, as far as I'm aware, a permit to regulate or oversee a collection-only system. Is that?
Yeah, and I would have to check because Sublimity sends all of their wastewater to Stayton. Canyon City does the same thing to John Day. And so I'm not sure. I can check real quick, but
Yeah, I wouldn't think they would need a WPCF permits for them, but they just would need plan review and stuff, just like we're doing.
But it's probably wise, whether it's regulated or not through a permit, probably wise to have a certified collection system operator for that the sub for the contract to maintain the stuff
Well,
she makes.
and that's the thing, it's like, well, if you have a break or something, an overflow or whatever, then you would have to report it.
To
Well, through DEQ because you had wastewater flowing onto the ground.
Right, but it's not in the context of a permit that they
Yeah,
hold.
like I say, I don't know as a collection system only.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So Keith and Guy and I were discussing a little bit, and we each all kind of had a similar opinion. Katie, definitely jump in there if you have something you want to add. But we talked to different people. Guy, a contractor, my contact with Rob Jackson, and Keith with his just background and knowledge, all kind of concluded that for the trunk that goes from Terrebonne to the collection or the disposal pit, that makes sense for it to certainly be an option for HDPE. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be HDPE, but I think it's a good location for it if we were to use it, and less so within the system where we have, the more common taps and T's and that sort of stuff. It does get into a situation where Rob was saying it becomes challenging when you get below 4-inch line sizes as far as what material to use, because it's a kind of a combination between glued and restrained joint type situations that I'm not fully familiar with, but I know it become a little problematic. We did discuss the possibility of, do we have 3-inch lines in this, is my recollection?
There's some.
Yeah, making those just 4-inch lines, unless there's a logic negative to that that I'm not thinking of, because it just the accessibility and availability of parts and pieces for that, both for an install and for any repairs, is challenging. Four
That's
inch,
true.
4-inch, not so much, but 3-inch, yes, and maybe even 2-inch somewhat, but just kind of a heads up.
Yeah.
Do we want to kind of walk through this thing from the beginning, or how do we want to go through this?
We can walk through that. Maybe starting at just kind of the general structure, we have operations and maintenance framework. The O&M model subsection is meant to just kind of define roles, purpose, the boundary, the operating model, board governed, contractor supported, right? You don't have staff, you don't have a manager. That is the plan for now. I guess in the
Yeah, we'll definitely have staff at some point, I'm
yeah,
sure.
that's a good
Yeah.
point. So,
We're gonna
operations
have to have,
staff.
yeah, might be contracted out, but it's gonna be staff, basically.
In the future, you're saying?
Yeah, we're gonna have to have somebody to do collections and somebody to do, just general operation.
Administration.
Yeah.
Billing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not
If you
quite
have
to the
any.
point where we can just go completely AI.
Yeah, exactly.
To in-house operational staff in the future.
Sure. I mean, I think that's fine for placeholder at the moment. So on the prior drawing, I had one question, sort of comment, sort of thing. Do we want to, and I talked a little bit about it with Rob, kind of have our own look and feel to our boxes, or do they want to look just like the water meter box because that's what we got drawn there and that's what's going to end up happening if we don't have some other specific thing, meaning a different size potentially if needed, or at a minimum maybe a color on the lid or something like that, so it's easier to locate our box when you go out to the field.
Well, have you seen the existing ones that are already out there?
I have not.
They are very different. Guy's got one right in front of his property. They're circular. They're
What does it look
green.
like? Oh, okay.
It
Good
kind
then.
of looks like a riser for a septic tank. That type of look. With a screw-on lid.
Nice. Okay, that's fine. I just didn't know that we had got those.
I think that that's a very good idea that we have a unique look so it's not confused with one of many other things. Maybe even a different color.
Good point. I think it should be pretty obvious with these ones that are in non-paved areas where we use these 18-inch ribs with green lids, like a septic riser. But in paved areas, we have Christie boxes, which are those polymer concrete boxes that are traffic rated. And that could be, they're gray. It'd just be important to have a lid that says sewer.
Yes, definitely say sewer on it, and I guess just give some contemplation to if there's some sort of additional distinction that might be helpful. I did enough of these water meter replacements that, and Keith can probably also echo this, it's difficult when you drive up to a house and you see three water meter boxes but only two houses, and like, well, where do these go? Whose
Yeah,
is
and that's a,
whose?
I think are you're talking about like those cast iron lids, Ryan, in the street or whatever? You can get those that say sewer on them.
Oh yeah, for valve, like isolation valve
Yeah.
lids. Yes.
But I don't know about those 12 inch and 18 inch. If you could get them that say sewer, yeah, definitely. It's too bad you can't use purple. It's readily available, but that's recycled.
Well, this is kind of recycled.
Yeah. Secondhand.
Yeah, I guess along that line, it might be good to, add some sort of label or something on the inside of the box so we can understand. A lot of them, it's very obvious where this thing goes, but a lot of them, if you're going to a flag lot or something like that, it becomes unclear. And if you got to shut somebody's off, it's nice to know you're at the right spot.
Yeah, certainly. Looks like there's a plate for labeling these Christie
Yeah.
boxes, so that should be
Would that be something to ask Clark County, Ryan?
yeah, we could.
I
I mean, I
mean,
could check. I have all their standards loaded. You look at that.
they've been doing it since what, 97?
At least, yeah, quite a while. See, step standard drawings. This would be step riser. How do they handle boxes? There we go. Oh, no, that's a junction box. I've seen a couple different service boxes. This is the city of Lacey, actually.
Just something to think about. I don't know how deep we want to get into it right now, but I'm just
Yeah,
starting
it
those
needs
thoughts.
to be different.
It's
There you
nice
go.
to be different, yeah.
This is one. Check valve, Ron's gate valve, tracer, valve box, note 7, Carson, bolted, non-hinged. So yeah, nothing special with it. Not even a explicit label, but it's a good point, and that'll be something for the specs.
Yep.
At the same time, well, okay, the project specs. So there's two projects, right? There's the ODOT project. And in that, we defined the service box materials. We
Yeah,
actually,
components. Yeah.
because we were installing service boxes preemptively because of the moratorium ODOT would put on the road, right?
Right.
So we kind of had to guess what service size they would need and where it would go. And so this is from that project where we defined what those were, and those were put in. So we've kind of already established a pattern for that.
Yeah, that works. It's fine by me. I just wanted something to be distinctive.
Yeah, so we should probably stick with that so we don't end up with something different outside the ODOT area. But really, for this project, don't know. It's uncertain whether or how many service connections the district will be putting in. We may want to talk about a program for that, for the district mainline project to include service connections. But the priority is just main lines, and then they would be putting in services.
Who are they?
The property owners.
Well, we got the
Well,
service is fine, but the check box, that's us, right? I mean, we get to control that. It's not a
that's true. You ultimately would own it, right? But if someone opts to connect, then they would apply for it. I guess that's an interesting question, whether you would have their contractor get the right-of-way permit, the plumbing permit, do the tap with the district overseeing it, approving it, inspecting it, and then them dedicating that infrastructure through the check valve in the box to the district, or you charge a connection fee that includes your crews, the district, doing the installation of the line to the property line, and then their contractor takes it from there.
Well, I would think that if they got a service connection put in while they were putting in the main line, it would be less expensive than if they had to go back and do it afterwards.
Certainly.
And so you could, and Linda's talked about this kind of an early hookup fee if you want to pay, and say you have a lot there or multiple lots, and you say, well, I want this, then we could do it at that point for a lesser fee than it would be
Yeah.
afterwards.
Yeah.
And no, that was one of the things I sent you a text that I didn't see where we'd address that in this section.
What exactly?
Well, we talked about the extension of the main line and stuff, but we haven't really addressed how we're going to handle the individual services.
Okay.
And that's where a lot of places do it is as they're extending it, they'll stub it to the property line, and so they don't have to come back in later on. Everything is stubbed out to the individual properties.
That would be the cleanest, instead
Definitely
of
the
people kind of
cleanest,
cutting
except,
in separately.
yeah, in this instance, it's a little bit difficult to necessarily know how many stubs you need and where they need to go to best
And if
suit the
the people
property.
have actually annexed into the program. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure we use Keith's time as efficient, effective and efficiently as possible. So let's do whatever the specific things you want to do with Keith here, as far as discussions, so we make sure we respect his time.
Regarding Guy's question, though, I think maybe we cover that in annexation and growth, potentially, or system description. I'm not sure, but the focus of this chapter is O&M, right? And so, if we are missing something important about the service line, then maybe we should address that. We do have service valve boxes covered as a, you know, a part of the district's O&M system. But the
We talked
insulation.
about extensions, and I think that raised a lot of questions for me.
Mainline extensions?
Yes.
Yeah, well, maybe that's an unresolved question from previous chapters, or not an ongoing open question, which we'll come back to when we get to growth and whatnot. So, but that's not the focus of this chapter.
What do you feel is the focus?
It's operations and maintenance, the draft chapter that was added
Okay.
for district review.
All right.
But I'm not saying it's not an important topic. It is, and
Yeah.
we should we will resolve it as we proceed through this. And let's keep talking about ideas maybe offline on how that should be done and what other jurisdictions do. But yes, so back onto the O&M framework. I'll just step through each of these. Please stop me if there's something from your review that you noted that you'd like to talk about or change.
So I'd like to, on this 4.14, down just above the table, starting at unless and including unless, delete everything up there to the future, basically.
Unless, okay.
Down lower, lower, lower. Up, right there. Nope. Lower, lower.
Sorry. Oh, okay.
Yeah, strike it from there, but leave this. There you go.
Okay. You don't want to suggest the possibility that this
Yeah.
is the way. Yeah, there's no need to say it. You're right. Yeah, this is just to clarify that. Again, I mean, we clarify it multiple times, I think, but just in case they don't read the thing in entirety, they can understand that dividing line. So we say what's included, what's not included in the district O&M program. Contracted O&M provider. I think the idea here is that this kind of just lays a common understanding of what that is, and maybe this chapter can even then advise the development of, you know, a solicitation for a maintenance provider in coordination with your legal counsel. You know, so that it's the terms and condition, the procurement and the terms and conditions are, you know, pursuant to this general understanding, you know, of what that involves, what their role will be, et cetera. So again, it's a framework. It doesn't totally spell out all the details of exactly everything they would and wouldn't do. Keith, do you think this is adequately kind of detailed for advising the district to work that out later?
Right there where you have it though is down just a little bit.
Okay.
Electrical instrumentation support, SCADA support, sampling service, isn't that all going to be on the city of Redmond? You're not going to have any SCADA.
That's a good point you bring up. I think yeah, that should be covered all by them as a part of the MOU. I've been kicking around the idea of potentially having pressure monitors at different points in the system to analyze the system behavior and maybe identify problems before they happen, like overloading or high pressure surge events or low pressure, could indicate that there might be a break somewhere, things like that. That's kind of the only thing. And maybe odor monitoring at certain places might be tied into SCADA. So it's kind of, yeah, maybe forward thinking. Maybe there's other specialized services that we should list instead of these that are less likely to be a part of the system.
Yeah, with your odor control, you're just going to get complaints from people as they drive by or ding, something like that. I don't think you need to get it really high tech with any of it.
Okay.
It's just a pressure main.
You're right. Yeah.
Low pressure main of that.
Yeah, it's a cleaner water.
Yeah, that's right.
Gray water, okay.
Yeah. So it's someone to turn ARVs, clean the ARVs every once in a while, address, maybe change out the odor control media,
Yeah,
right? Is
charcoal
that,
bags or whatever.
yep. Maybe exercise valves. Now, if there is a major repair, I suppose they might contract things out, such as maybe we say bypass pumping, pigging,
Well, those
Yeah.
are just going to have to be services we do in the future. Well, for emergency things, I think we need to get a contractor that we feel comfortable with and have them basically kind of sort of on call or available.
And could you actually
Not sure how
do
to do
an
that particularly.
IGA or an MAO with the city of Redmond for their vacuum truck or,
Yeah.
something like that? Because I don't see a whole lot of problems. I don't think you're going to have to pig it because you're not going to have any solids.
So we've heard.
So, it might be nice to have a pig launcher set up somewhere,
Yeah.
but it's mostly clean water, not any solids, so it shouldn't be getting anything build up on it.
Okay. On that point of pigging, we've been kicking around the idea of investing in the extra infrastructure for a pig launching station. It's another box to maintain and several fittings and valves, to deal with, but it would provide, a place for it in the unlikely event that they need a pig traditionally. We've also explored ice pigging and talked with the manufacturer and a couple others about that. It is a very expensive process, but it gives you flexibility to pig different areas, particularly in the trans or the collection system, where we got bends and fittings and all kinds of weird maneuvers that it would need to make. I think ice pigging may be the only option for those portions of the system. But where we have the long run, a traditional pig could work its way all the way through.
Yeah, from the bottom of C Avenue all the way to Redmond.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if these are just sweeping along. Even if it's a 45, they can do that.
Well, you can put 245s or have sweeping 90s, but.
Yeah. But then we also would need to then, well, I don't think we would need to, but it would be best to upsize then the whole effluent meter vault to be full size 8-inch all the way through, and then have an intermediate pig retrieval station. To catch the thing before, I guess they could probably
Well,
catch it right here.
it's coming out into an open manhole, right?
True. Yeah.
There
I
you
wasn't
go.
sure if they were going to do an inside drop, though.
Yeah.
Guess we should check with them on that.
I think we ought to just conclude that if we do need to do pigging, we'll just do ice pigging and hope to heck
Yeah.
everybody
Yeah.
else is right. We don't need to do pigging.
Yeah. I think so too. So, anyways. This was an idea, but we'll probably just omit this. And I hope that's not something we regret in the future. But ice pigging is an option.
You could
And
always
if
cut that
needed,
system in too if we ever needed it.
true. Yeah, it would be, it would have to isolate an area and cut it in to launch a pig. But yeah, it could be done by cutting in a Y, right?
And I don't see it. What's the pressure going to be up in Terrebonne itself or?
Well, it varies. It's a bit of an interesting dynamic. Really, the static water level will level out halfway up the hill on C Avenue. And then as flows build up, we've got an air vac valve at the top. As it fills up, that head difference will drive it through the force main. So it's the pressure normally will be basically zero in Terrebonne, right? They're just getting over the hill. They're
So
pumping.
the pumps themselves pumping into the system is just going to be minimal, 5 to 15 PSI or whatever.
I mean, once things really get moving and we get to full build out, then they have more pressure. This is 10 feet ahead, or 20 rather, at the high point, roughly. Each block's 20 feet ahead. Much more down low. And then there's more velocity. Then they're seeing closer to 3 feet per second. But that is another challenge with ice pigging or even traditional pigging is how do you, is getting enough flow to actually then move the pig through at a reasonable pace. Because for the initial years, it's going to be half a percent, half a
And
foot per second, 1 foot per second.
I would think that would be something else if you can check with Clark County whether they've even had to do any pigging on any of their
They
lines.
haven't.
Like I
Yep.
said, I don't see you needing it in the residential or anywhere else just because there isn't any solids in it.
Yeah, we asked them that specifically, and they said they haven't pigged or had any need to pig their step mains in the 30 years that they've been operating it, the metal glade system, and the sections that they have cut into for repairs and whatnot have been relatively clean, like a thin layer of scum, but not any sort of buildup.
I would say then it's probably just a moot point.
Yeah, well, that's all reassuring. We just with this long 3 mile force main. There's just a low level anxiety that something could happen, but overall, everything we hear is that they're very reliable. It's a reliable approach, low maintenance. So yeah, if we need ice pig, we can. If we need to cut in fittings for traditional pigging, we can do that too in the future. But for now, the ARVs serve as injection points for ice pigging, which is pretty convenient.
So 4.18 talks about acceptance of the public facilities into the operation. And my question at the moment is, did we get a walkthrough or anything with ODOT, and or has that been accepted, or where are we at on that?
I haven't heard any more from them just yet. I think it's this summer, maybe August or so, when they were going to be at that point. But yes, that's a great reminder. I'll make a note here.
We need to walk through it. Somebody does, and just open, a
Yeah.
good number of lids and make sure what's in there is supposed to be in there.
And they're gonna do, give you as-built, right?
I hope
Yeah.
so.
Yep. As built, and then a part of our scope for this planning effort is to put those into a web map for the district, or just have a platform to see the system components, main lines, valves, services. And then, after this project, the rest of this would be added.
So, what kind of pipe did they use?
C 900.
They just put sleeves in, didn't they?
For the mains,
For
the ODOT
the
project?
main crossings and everything else?
They did some casing pipes under the highway, just to secure the road and base in the event of any sort of leakage and whatnot. So, any issues with the main wouldn't affect the highway. They cased those in at least two places, crosses the high, yeah, two and then one under the bridge. So they have three casing pipes, but the pipe is being installed, and pressure tested. full of water. So, yeah, should be ready to go.
So the operation records and reporting, Keith, how do you guys do that in your history slash anybody you're dealing with? How do they maintain records of where they've inspected, which ones need to be inspected or valves turned and all that stuff? Is there a program that's particular to that?
Well, you'd have an inspector or somebody from the district or whatever would inspect it, and then you'd have to have the records. And so they're, what are they pressure testing the system at?
150. 150.
150? Oh, that should hold it.
Parent for the future.
Yes,
But for
yes.
the future, when we have an operator out there and he goes out and he looks in 25 boxes and, so he's inspected those at this point, just an annual inspection. What means do you or do system utilities have for tracking where he needs to go next, or, what his maintenance operations would have to be done next?
Well, that'd be the thing is, you'd have a checkoff or whatever, and depending, because they say with this type of system, you don't really have to inspect the tanks. What is it, 3 to 7 years? And just you usually don't exercise the valves that often. As you know, Tim, going out to a meter box, some of them don't turn very easily. And but you don't go out and exercise every meter valve. So
But you're not familiar with any particular software that's used for tracking that.
no, not really. I had seen. You mean for the work orders, stuff like that? And
That sort of stuff.
I've seen some of that, and I haven't actually used any of it myself.
We're going to ask SCAO and see if they have some experience with that, or maybe your water utilities might have some knowledge there too.
There's one I've seen, BMI, Backflow Management, has been advertising R2. And if you go to BMI, then it'll pop up and everything. It's a management, I believe, tracking program.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm seeing a couple different programs that I think might fit well. Like, and it integrates with asset, like with GIS data and mapping, right? So when you're there, you can click on the node you're working on and say, I did this on this date, and then so it's geospatial. It's not just a form in a folder somewhere.
When you click on the valve, it says that it was replaced or inspected on this date by who did it and everything like that. And I forget the one, quite a few small systems use a basic one, not ArcGIS, but I don't know if you can think of it, Ryan or Tim. But, and it's not that expensive, but yeah, you can use them for that.
Well, maybe pursuant to this idea, we can just clarify the intent that these are electronic records, electronic geospatial records linked to as-built data or something.
And
That's the idea.
it's also it's always good. I like to have paper hard copies just to have something right there.
So I have a printable with printable functionality.
If and just looking at paper and everything, because stuff happens in the cloud and everywhere else, or the company goes out of business and then it doesn't integrate with somebody else, and then so they got to start from scratch again, or PDFs are good.
Data should be stored electronically and available for print.
Yeah, something like that.
Guy, you were saying you had another couple of comments on the stuff that you had read. Was did we capture all those at this point?
I had some questions about the extension, but Ryan said we're going to deal with that at a different day.
If we have time, I just want to make sure we can cover all the O&M
No, I don't
questions
think
and
we're
comments.
going to get done with that. So, yep.
No, I think it's we're going to have some sort of a software program that we'll have to decide on which one the best one is to use.
Sure.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, space. Okay. Good point. Thank you. Any other comments on the 4.1 chapter, coordination with utilities and service partners? Just saying, who else is in the sandbox? Utilities, county, ODOT, City of Redmond, Redmond School District. Yeah. Suppose the water district is in there as well. Wasn't sure what for, I guess for crossings, maybe. Flushing,
Well, whenever
just
you get a
items.
new service, you're going to need a new water service. So we're going to have to coordinate that with them, location. So we don't both try to go into this. Just if there's a new project going in, then we're going to have to talk to them about, where they want to be and where we want to be.
That's a good point.
Yeah, if it's an empty lot and there's two new services added to it.
Placement of sewer mains and services relative.
You might want to add the power company to that too. Just, when we're digging, to make sure that
Well, when you call in a locate, they should be no notified anyway. The
right, they
power
will be, but
communications.
it's this is we're trying to keep okay, when we figure out there might be a problem, who do you call, right? Isn't this the idea to have like phone numbers or emails for people that are in charge of the utilities that are going to affect our district?
I mean, up top, I do have utility locate request for excavation or emergency repairs, so that they're generally all utilities in the street get their paint on the ground, so minimize impacts. But I suppose there's a power demand related to pumps. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I don't know how much of TerraBond is overhead power and how much is underground power. Or, some areas that I've worked in, they've gone away from overhead power. And even if there's a pole, you have to go up the pole, right? And so if we foresee a problem, whenever you're digging and stuff, you want to know what you're getting into.
Totally. Yeah, well, we have their service maps. We have a map of PPNL infrastructure in the area.
Right. And but we should have a contact person in case we need to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
Like, who do you call?
I may not necessarily be a person, but maybe a contact number.
Yeah.
I'll say so I added in utility company contacts. So utility locate requests and contacts.
Yeah, because there can be fiber optics, TV.
Yeah.
You don't know what's buried out there, but we need to, and vice versa, they need to have our contact if they're going to be doing stuff.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah, thank you. Also this one we didn't talk about this service expectations and response coverage. 24/7 on call response.
Well, I have another one. Okay, you have coordination with Deschutes County.
Yep.
That's roadway and right of way, but we're going to have direct contact for every installation with Deschutes County health, environmental health, because we're going to have to work together with them with, for making sure that the people, get the permits and get signed
Okay.
off and that sort of thing.
I think that probably belongs under regulatory compliance.
Okay.
I'll say ensure coordination with environmental health.
Right, the shoots environmental health. Because when what Evan was saying there when we were talking earlier in the week there is that, they require some testing and so forth on the tanks, the fill test and this, that, and the other thing. And so we're gonna have to have our specifications and we'll have to coordinate with them to make sure, they're going to be the people that issue the permits for tanks and plumbing. And so, it's their permit, but we're going to have specifications that we want to see.
On-site step. Yeah, presumably under a county plumbing permit.
Well, I'm guessing there's probably three permits. There's going to be electrical, plumbing, and then whoever
Right
governs
away.
septic tanks.
Oh, okay. Is that an authorization, a septic authorization? I think that would be different because that's an
Well,
authorization to infiltrate through an on-site system.
yeah, well, they don't. Environmental health doesn't look at plumbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, then maybe it's not that. Specifically, it's Deschutes County. CDD includes both environmental health and building department.
Yeah. And we'll have to kind of go through that with the county. And so when people come to apply, we'll say these are steps you have to take, and we'll just have to work out what the procedure is with, the county and our specifications.
Yep. I think we have Todd on tap to join for that one.
That would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so so Keith, have you been involved in that before where people they're changing out from sewer to septic or septic to sewer?
Yeah, depending on what they're going to do with this one is if they I see could possibly keep their tank and then they put an outside pump or whatever, then but the county's got to inspect it. The building plumbing, it's not on the district. We, you can make the specs or whatever, but they've got to get a permit through the county to do everything.
That was my understanding, and they have what's called a tank abandonment permit, which doesn't mean you have to abandon it, but you have to certify that it's okay.
Well, if they're leaving the tank there, then abandonment, they have to fill it with sand or some slurry or something like that. Otherwise, they got to take it completely out. And if they're putting a new step tank in, then they might as well take the old one, put the new one in the same space spot.
Well, that's a good point, and that's something we'll work out more in future chapters. So for this, then we go after 4.1, operations reporting. So preventative maintenance, this whole chapter is about that. The idea is, fine-tuning the balance of preventative maintenance to minimize reactive maintenance, which is emergencies, essentially. And so we've got some recommended frequencies for each of those components of the step system. It is noted here that on-site step equipment is not a part of the district O&M program. But that's a huge part of minimizing on-lot failures, such as backups, which is really what customers will experience more than a main having a problem, right? They'll feel the backup. And so this kind of fine-tune balance of how often do you pump out your tank and what procedures should you have to minimize the buildup of scum and whatnot, or floats getting hung up, can maybe be addressed by just having expectations for their on-site maintenance.
And that's where, unlike your septic tank, you're going to have a high water float alarm on their tank before it overflows. So then they need to get out there and clean their screen or check something and that. But, with a septic tank, you don't know until it's overflowing out on the ground.
Do you think those on-site maintenance expectations should be recommendations? Because if they don't deal with it, then it's mostly their problem, or should they
Yeah,
be requirements?
it should come with, and you're recommending a Renko,
Yes
and
and
they come,
no.
they
We're recommending
you're
they've designed it themselves, basically.
yeah, but it will come with a manual on the operation, maintenance of the tank and everything and what they need to do. And so, not to say, 5 years down the road, a new owner and the manual's out the window or whatever, but that's regular maintenance, just like on your car.
Well, Evan said that they supplied, I think it was on their website, didn't he? When we were talking to him about that.
What did they supply?
Just what you how to maintain your system.
At a basic level, they just most of it's saying what not to flush and whatnot, the do's and don'ts, but more so like specific maintenance intervals. I put that in the notes, like how often they check. Like they have a routine of checking floats and valves at a certain or scum levels at certain intervals and pumping at a certain number of years and things like that too. But that's because they do it. If it with this decentralized approach, I think just working that into that kind of that on-site guide, that handout.
This is what we recommend. And then if they don't do it, there's not much we can do about it. They're going to end up with a failure.
Mostly their problem, I suppose there's a remote risk that some solids and or bog gets pushed through into the main, which is a bit of a problem. But in your experience, Keith, do their filters usually clog up before they can mess up the public system?
Yeah, the because it has a filter before it goes to the pump. And if the filter clogs, then you're going to get a high tank level.
And then their alarm goes off and the problem stays on site.
And then they need to go out and clean that screen. I'm not that familiar with it. You know, I mean, somebody could probably just pull a screen out, but then that could possibly plug the pump. And same thing, you know, they'll get a high level alarm and but
Yeah, the gist
That's
of
very
what we
consistent.
got from Clark was that there wasn't a lot of risk to us to just letting them figure it out. Basically, you put an effluent, a screened effluent pump in, and as long as it overcomes the pressure to get into our system, that's fine. We don't need to know about it beyond that,
That
you know.
was my understanding too, is that once it gets into the pump, there's a screen on the pump, and you're just, if any sludge gets through there, it's going to be kind of homogenized.
So to that
Yeah.
point,
So
what I go ahead, sorry.
I guess I'm sorry, just following up on that. I think we, as the district, need to have some sort of check on the system, meaning, you know, we want a report from their, you know, certified inspector who might be their personal homeowner or something, but like the ATT systems, they have to issue something to the county every year or every 3 years or whatever. Katie's and Guy are both fairly familiar
Once
with
a
that.
year, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
That's
So
great. I like that. I'm going to add a section
something like that.
outlining expectations for on-site maintenance.
Yeah. And that'll be in their, you know, contract for services, basically.
Around on-site maintenance requirements. And so you're saying that's an annual.
I don't know
Well,
if it's an annual
it
thing or not, but it's a something that they have to report to us.
Well,
Well,
if they get
Evan.
a pump, they should report to you when they pumped it. Or,
Yeah, all that stuff.
yeah.
It seems like if they did it every 3 years, that should be sufficient. That's what I think.
Tough to say. I think it's a as needed basis. You get two sets of grandparents and 14 kids living in a 2-bedroom house, you know, that are just chugging down the stuff. It's going to happen more frequently.
And that's where, rather than the pumping of the tank, the cleaning of the screen probably is more important initially. And then, like you say, it's 3 to 5 to 7 years on the pumping of the tank.
Right. Can be.
Well, I know I have a similar pump at my mobile home park that takes the effluent and then pumps it to the drain field.
Is that
And
a submersible grinder pump?
it's not a grinder pump, it's an effluent pump.
Okay.
And I talked to Jonathan about it, and he goes, well, that's exactly what you need to pump into this system. But it requires very little maintenance.
Yeah.
And I mean, they come out, I think, every 3 years or so, and they kind of clean out the little well and make sure the floats are working, and but it's just not a problem.
So I
And
have a question.
please.
So do we know if the county will no longer, since we take over this process, right, as the district for the sewer, will the county no longer require residents to do that annual reporting?
I would think so. I would think it would, we would take over that kind of authority,
Okay.
basically.
Well, that ATT thing is basically like a mini sewage treatment plant with a lot of parts, and you will not need all that if you hook up to our system.
Right, I get that. I just wondered, like, so we're going to take over that process and make sure they're in compliance, and we're going to make sure that they have a something available where they can report it. So we're just knowing that they're doing that, like we were talking, you
I
guys were
think,
talking about.
yeah, I think we need to get a conversation with Todd and ourselves and, kind of flesh that out a little bit personally.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Because
I get that understanding.
technically it's not your problem because all you've got is the collection system, collection pressure system.
Right.
Right.
Does
But
the
in theory, if we take it over, we could be saving, you guys that are the users some money by doing that. If you don't have to do it every year or whatever, that's saving you some money too. So that's kind of a good sales point.
Right. I mean, if we're asking the customers to comply according to these documents, then we would have to know some way that they're doing that.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I think that with the simplicity of our system, that 3 years was, would be, I mean, just from listening to all these people, there's just not that many problems with them. And if you do have a problem, then you're going to have to deal with it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing we just need to get with Todd and get that clarified for the
You
county.
mean on the ATT system?
I don't think that it's necessarily any the specific system. I think all of my neighbors, they're all like they're on a community well. I think they probably have to report. I don't know, but some people, I don't think it's specific to that system here. They just require that from the county to report on your septic.
Only for the specialized systems like the ATTs.
It's only on, yeah,
Yeah.
and ATT is the only one that requires you to.
Is
If
it
you have a
okay?
standard system, you don't have to do anything.
I'm ignorant to this process.
Okay, well, no, well, that's. I have several properties with standard systems,
Don't
and
even know what
then
I'm
I have two with ATT systems, and the
Yeah.
ATT is the only ones. But
Okay.
what they do is they allow you to have a much smaller drain field. Because the water is virtually clean. I mean, what you have is a mini sewage treatment plant above your septic tank. And
Yeah.
they do require cleaning and maintenance, and so that's
Okay.
but like a standard system, there's no requirements. They suggest that you get them pumped every 3 to 5 years or something, but there's no, you don't have to file anything.
Okay. Good to know.
But yeah, so say if somebody that had an ATT hooked up to this, I don't know, maybe you can sell it to somebody, but you just won't need it.
Yeah, there's a lot more here. If you have it, is there anything you guys would like to discuss before we wrap up today? You can always send over markups and comments by email.
Yeah, I looked through the rest of it. There was nothing that just really jumped out at me. I thought we kind of pretty much got to a lot of those conversations, and I know a few of them are coming up in the future. I just, again, I want to make sure we appreciate Keith's time, and if you got more specific questions for him, get them. But otherwise,
Yeah, I looked through it and I didn't see anything really jumping out.
Good.
No, I thought it was all pretty good points. We're going to have to decide on some sort of a program that we'll use to track this. I don't know who decides on that, but
Track maintenance activities.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's just, and that'll alert you and I think, like what Key said, on our side, hopefully there isn't too much. There's really not too much to the system.
No, if you wanted, you could put pressure gauges in a couple of places and then just have somebody check those prayer periodically. But needing any SCADA and anything else like that, I don't see any.
That's a good point. And what we heard from the Clark folks is what they do sometimes is they do a 30-day sampling of pressure monitors that will talk, or they collect data. They don't actually need to send a signal. They collect the data with battery packs for 30 days, then they go grab them and then analyze the patterns that they see. So that's something someone, could do without a whole SCADA system tied in with cellular or wired.
Yeah, they've got data loggers, I think is what they're called. You just put them
Exactly.
in. Yep.
And we can kind of see what's happening when. And they were doing that particularly when they were up against capacity and considering how much capacity they could take on or how much remaining capacity they had in the main. So it's kind of an as needed analysis, not necessarily something that it is will be needed regularly, I suppose. Well, thanks everyone for your feedback. And again, I'm sorry I was late on the start of the meeting, but appreciate your feedback. And I've got these notes tracked here to refine in the future versions of the document.
Great.
Thanks for your time, Keith.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
And so what are we
Thank you,
going to
Keith.
cover on the next one?
Yeah, good point. So next one is going to be focused on I believe it's the customer service and here's the roadmap. Okay, so July. Actually, we're bouncing around a little bit for the July one into we did cover asset management already. It's more so capital planning. So let's see, chapter. I don't know, maybe it does just make more sense to go sequentially. Into customer service and communication, and then financial management, regulatory compliance. What do you guys think? I mean, we could go a number of different ways. What feels like the next logical path? We have a roadmap here that we mapped out at the beginning, but the outline's a little different now due to the recent changes. And
It don't matter. We got to get through all of it, so let's just keep stepping forward.
okay, we'll just go to chapter five. We have an
So when are we going to get to this line extension and how that's going to work? Because
Chapter
that was later on in chapter
eight.
four.
Annexation and growth. It's eight. So, if that's of great interest, let's just jump to it. I don't see why we need to necessarily wait. It may, in a sense, play into financial management, which could then logically follow later. Arguably. So do you want to jump to eight and kind of tackle those questions? Also, I mean, it depends on what you mean by extensions.
Well, how's, you know, you have it mapped out where our main lines are on the plan that we're submitting to DEQ, right? Okay, at a certain point in time, you know, somebody's going to want us to extend that, right? And so, what's our policy going to be for that extension?
Like who pays for what?
Yeah, who pays for what? Yeah.
All that stuff.
Yeah, I mean we have a framework that we put shared in a previous work session. Maybe read through that again and let me know what you.
Well, I read through it and I don't remember agreeing to any of that. I
Yeah.
remember talking about it.
Yeah, this was one that had a lot of open questions. So,
Yeah.
open to thoughts on that. Or we could maybe meet with the city of Redmond, get their thoughts on how they handle it.
You're gonna get filling in on that one. Your cousin or something?
Yeah, a family member. So yeah, there's a number of different ways we could go. I think it belongs here. I mean, regulatory compliance could mean, there's
Yeah,
just some
keep it in the
fails, and
family,
then
at least.
according to the OARs and whatnot, they need to connect to the system if it's legally and physically available, right? So that kind of plays into regulatory compliance, annexation and growth. I mean,
And then, depending on the area, you could put a LID in the district, local improvement district.
yeah.
Somebody puts it in, and everybody that connects to it pays a portion of it.
Yep.
And who does that? I mean, if a local improvement district, do the people that want that district together, do they do it, or is that something that they look at us to do?
Think it's usually initiated by citizens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Well,
if
then
that's.
once they do that, then the funding for that, they can come up with their funding or somehow.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a property owner initiated
Right.
extension.
If a
Well, I
developer
just.
wanted to build in one area and extend it out, then get his property so he could build on it, but there's areas on the way up. He'd pay for the extension and then get reimbursed by other property owners as they come on.
Well, and so the reason that that concerns me is because we keep getting people asking those kind of questions. If we're outside this phase A, how does this work? Right.
Well, why don't we talk about that next session? We'll get back and fill out chapter 8, we'll do some work in between then to try to address some of those questions.
Yeah, I just think, we need to be able to tell people at least reasonably what our plans are and how that will work, right? And if they, okay, well, I'm annexed in, but I'm 4 blocks away from the main. How's that going to work?
Good
Well, let's talk
question.
about it
Next
more next
session.
week. Yep. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Ryan, real quick. So July 2nd would be our next meeting. Is that going to work for everybody?
Oh, that would be it could work for me. Yeah.
When's the 4th?
2 days
On
later on
Saturday.
Saturday.
Well, I know it's two. I mean, day wise,
Saturday.
I can do that math in my head,
That's good.
but I probably deserve that.
So
Yeah, the 4th is on a Saturday.
are people taking Friday off or Monday off?
Friday.
I'm taking Friday out.
Or both.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, if anybody has a conflict and more than one person, maybe we can change it to the 9th, but let me know.
Okay.
Just you guys can just email me separately and just let me know that you're gonna have, you won't be able to attend. So
All
does
right.
that
Works for
work?
me. Thanks,
Okay.
everybody. All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Bye.
everybody's help.
Thanks, Keith.
Bye-bye. See
Bye.
you guys.
All right, bye.